leaving space around each art, so that neither art has to glue itself to a particular. There are exceptions, of course. In Mercy's solo tango, which was performed here yesterday, there are two points in the dance that we try to have the sound specifically related to. When he throws the towel down on the floor, immediately the loops which have been playing in my vocalizing stop, and the television begins. And then when a half minute later, when it comes to the front of the stage and points down, the television stops, and my drinking a cup of water with the throat microphone on starts. So that dance is not so much like the weather as it is the dance that has three parts, or at least the music has three parts. Maybe you have more parts than the dance.
No, the dance is two. Three parts.
In general, though, you basically the only communication that you have with each other in doing the sound and in doing the dance is just a time frame. You just say it's going to be this amount of time. And in general, though, you basically the only communication that you have with each other in doing the sound and in doing the dance is just a time frame. You just say, it's going to, in general though, you, in general, in general, in general though, in general though, you, basically the only communication that you have with each other in doing the sound and in doing the dance is just a time frame. You just say, it's going to be this amount of time. And
that was the practice. Anciently in India, instead of having two arts, dance and music, they had an art called Sangeeta, which was dance and music together. And they had a rhythmic structure which was called Tala, but they improvised in the talams. In the West, we've never had except perhaps in the Middle Ages, an idea about theory of rhythm, so that that left it possible for us in this century to start thinking about time. And the more recently in 1950, when the use of magnetic tape for musical purposes became generally usable, we began to see a close relation not only between movement and music, but between space and time.
Who normally provides the initiation for a dance and music piece? Do you, Merce, do you say initiation for...
And time.
Initiation for a dance and music piece? Do you, Merce, do you say that, okay, this piece is going to be 10 minutes long, and then John goes off and composes something, and you do your dance.
We don't even state the time length.
Oh, you don't.
Beginning. No.
Often with the composer, he will ask how long the dance is, and then if I know, I'll tell him. But if I'm working on it, I have perhaps an approximate idea of the time, but nothing specific. And so that even that can be left free, in other words.
Where you're deciding that you are going to...
We are heading into the second hour of the show. It is 4 a.m. in my world at this time, for me, live in this moment. Maybe it's not 4 a.m. for you.
Go on and on.
Is this still pleasing? I sometimes think I could only produce this at this hour in the middle of the night. So maybe wherever you are, I hope you're enjoying it, and it's okay. We have the beautiful voice of John Cage here in the background. He has a good voice, right? I don't really know what he's talking about. I often have that quality. I don't really know what he's saying, but it sounds mystical and deep. But maybe it's not. As I look out the window, it's dark outside, so I'm trying to think. I think I'm heading into a more reflective type of mood. I had a lot of fun that first hour, but I want to relax for a bit. Not sleep, but something like sleep. This is Sealer, their album Close Proximity and the Unhindered Care All from 2013. This track is called Calling the Past from Unsentient Weeks. That also sounds deep.
Things which were much bigger, much more cumbersome, and almost impossible to get on and off the stage, not just because of their size, but because the actual stage space was such that there weren't any, the wings were difficult to get them in and out of, and that was a real problem. It was like a physical problem, which we couldn't, just simply couldn't surmount.
Is that David Hammond?
No, it was Neil Jennings. It was a piece called Objects, and we did it not very often because it simply wasn't feasible to do. If we put the objects on the stages that we were playing at the time, then the dancers couldn't have gotten on the stage. There wouldn't have been enough room. And then we couldn't get the objects off because there wasn't enough room in the wings.
Did that dance just disappear then?
Of course. We simply couldn't deal with it.
You just didn't perform the dance at all?
Well, we did. Yes, we did it once or twice, probably, but it simply wasn't possible to physically possible to deal with it. So I had to, so to speak, abandon it.
Does it ever surprise you how the dance and the music work together?
Yes, I think probably, since I don't, now with our pieces, I don't hear the music before the public does it, the first performance. Nor do the dancers, as far as that's concerned. So that there is a certain element of surprise that comes into this. And I'm also, mostly I hear it in the wings. If I'm not in the dance myself, I'm watching from the wings. And if it is, because it is a new piece, I'm usually so concentrated on the dancing.
Context.
I've been surprised and I've also been delighted.
This is Merce Cunningham and And John Cage speaking in the spring of 1981 about a piece they did together.
How about you, John? Do you feel similarly about your reaction?
I think it's lively and useful now in society to be able to place one's attention.
They talk about music and movement.
One way, but in two ways at least.
But
like as with different music, different dance coming together. And then if we can go further than that and place our attention in three different directions, I think that would be even more interesting. And if we accomplish three, we could go on to four, to five, and so forth. So that we move toward a kind of complex use of our faculties that will suit us for our everyday life, which nowadays is coming toward us from all sides.
Have audiences been at all affected by this?
Well, Merce was talking with someone from the theater at the university the other evening. And he said that he felt that audiences that formerly had difficulty with our work because of the independence of the music and the dance in our theater were now beginning to be able to enjoy it. And that's to say, times change. Now that we're more or less on our last legs, the audience is beginning to sit up and enjoy itself.
Finally. That's great.
Maybe it'll continue for a little while.
Hope so.
I noticed that when Merce became 40, that critics in London objected to his continuing to dance because they thought the dancers should be younger. But now that he's even older, no one seems to object any longer to the fact that he dances.
They don't voice it.
I think they're becoming interested in seeing how long this whole thing is going to last.
But you talked about the thing about the audience. The other last week we gave what we labeled an informal performance in the same crowd on a rather, in a sense, a difficult stage for dancing because it was a recital hall stage and it was hard and so on. And the musicians were at the back and the dancers, we were in the front. And John made the sounds by moving around the side and slammed doors. And
the other musicians were doing electronic things.
And it was,
but I was doing what you call acoustic sounds.
But it was time, and sometimes I was on the side and I wasn't performing. I was listening and looking at this and thought it was quite a fascinating event.
The doors that slammed were the loudest doors I've ever heard.
But the whole thing of the sound and the kind of sound, and the fact that everything was visible, John was visible and the other musicians in the back and the dancers, and there were no wings. We were just going to stand on the side. So the whole thing became the theater. And
when the audience came in, everyone was warming up.
Yes, but more than that, these are students, student audience, and sometimes when it's strange, as this might well be to them, they are likely to get up and depart and so on. And it was to go an hour, like the lunch hour, roughly like 1:15 to 2:15. And they were very attentive. It was a fair-size audience, and they were very attentive to all this. And about 45 minutes after they started, a number left. But they all left at the same time, so I figured they must have class. So I thought, well, yes, that's all right. And the rest of the people stayed, and at the end of it, they had been absolutely silent, except for this time when the people left. The whole thing had been very, very quiet. They weren't restless or anything like this. They were, and it was clear to me that they were, we could see the public very visibly because of the lighting. The lighting was so minimal.
that they were absorbed by what was going on. They, whatever kind of judgments they were making, that doesn't matter. But while they were there, they were told to observe. And at the end of it, there was this applause to something that they had been involved with. And it's one of the, this has happened several times, but this time was very noticeable to me because of the particular quality of the sound, the fact that the musicians were all visible, that we were all doing this in a very flat sense.
When you have the independence of the music and the dance that we have, then the observer becomes the third point in the triangle. And that's what Marcel Duchamp spoke of. He completes the work. And each triangle is a different triangle.
Getting back to a point that you were talking about before, you both still perform. Is this something that you find is very important to your creative acts? In being able to, after choreographing or after composing, that you actually do perform?
Well, I started out that way as a performer, and I just continued. And
he's committed to performing.
I don't perform as much as I used to, so I suppose it's changing like anything does. But it is part of my life. I think that's part of the issue, one way or another.
And John?
I could get along a lot with him, but I still have to do a little exercise in order to keep my back in shape.
Both of you have used chance as the basis for either composing music or choreographing dance. How did you both come to the idea of using this technique in order to create works of art?
Well, I had studied for 2 years with Suzuki, his philosophy of Zen Buddhism. And I wanted to find a way to free my work from my likes and dislikes. And if you are not involved with music, but are involved just with Zen Buddhism, and you want to free yourself in your life and dislike, you sit cross-legged, you know, and go through various breathing exercises. If you don't do them properly, you get hit over the head. So I wasn't going to do that, but I wanted to adopt a discipline that would work in the field of music that would be just as strict as sitting cross-legged. And so I chose first to work with the magic square, and then later I came across the I Ching, and that a means of working with the passing of six times to get two numbers between 1 and 64. That struck me suddenly as being better than the magic square, than say more genuine. I think it's true because I began early in the 50s and I haven't found any reason to shift to some other way of working. Though I include other means, I keep using those chance operations. Recently I was running out of printout because now I no longer count the times. I get a computer printout like the E-King. And I recently received a million new numbers from the Bell Telephone Laboratory. Some people think I'm the slave of these chance operations, but I'm grateful to them and think of them as a utility or something like fresh air, or clear water.
Nurse?
Well, I use the chance operations too. I use the I Ching in certain pieces, and of course, for example, a trophy device, you're using the numbers from the beginning. I have to add certain things which still could be found out through the I Ching, but I use other kinds of patterns like tossing coins and so on to decide whether how many people are going to do a certain phrase or whether it will be male or female and so on. Those kinds of things. The use of chance is slightly different from piece to piece, depending on how many people are in the piece, the kind of piece it might be, how much time I have to do a piece. For example, I'm working on one with the seven of the dancers, and I have a very short time to work at it, so that in using the chance operations, I have to use a rather broad use of it, rather than as detailed as I might do ordinarily, because I don't have that much time before we start to present the piece. But I've found in almost every piece I've done for years now that if I really use the chance operation and follow it through, that it always brings out something that I don't think I would have thought of otherwise by myself, and opens out some new kind of facet or new kind of possibility. I sometimes can't utilize it completely. That's simply because I don't have time enough with the dancers to bring it about perhaps as completely as I would like to. But I try always to start from some general chance operation and then detail it as much as I have time for.
Before you even use the chance operation, do you put some structure or parameters around it, say a time limit or a space in which you want the dance to occur?
There are also practical decisions always that have to be made that simply have to do with human beings. If you're suddenly on the floor and then at the next moment you're supposed to be high in the air, you have to do something in between. Now, technologically, you see, we could be there. As I explained to one of the students this morning, she asked this question. I said, well, with technology, you could be at one moment there and the next moment up. But without that, just by yourself, you have to somehow get up into that. But I take that as part of the human act, as part of the humanness of it, if I can put it that way.
John, do you ever make some decisions even before you start using the chance operations?
What I try to do is to understand the field of possibilities in which the composition is going to take place.
My baby lives in shades of blue. The
then I ask questions which hopefully are radical questions. But get at the roots rather than the surfaces of what will eventually happen.
He lives for love, he loves his drugs, he loves his baby too. But I can't fix it.
Strange weather. No doubt, this situation is.
But you are on fire. Can't be.
What have you felt are the benefits of working with a dance company rather than just composing on your own? What have been the benefits?
I think that music and musicians, they didn't want it. When I showed the same pieces to dancers, they said, "Oh, I'll make a dance for that." They were very grateful for it. I think it's entirely because of my close connection through my life with dancers that my music has been used in this society. There was a year where I let the chance operations operate. And then with Zukowski, we find out what is feasible and what isn't. And we simply make those adjustments.
But don't you find with him sometimes?
We don't find any conclusive thing.
No, what I mean is that something that he might have thought was impossible, and then you try it out, and then it turns out to be possible.
That happens.
Yes.
But then another thing happens, and that is that he says, "I could do this," but he had meanwhile learned to do that.
Yes.
And so we change it to this, and then in concert he reverts to what he originally knew. In the throw of physical action and the complexity of the situation, because the pieces are not easy, he does what first comes to mind, and frequently what comes to mind is what he had memorized in the first place.
Of course, yes.
And has nothing to do with the music.
No, that's what's sort of in the memory, yes.
Or in the muscles.
Yes, but muscle memory, that's what it is.
I have the feeling in listening to both of you that even though problems may come up when you're working together, that you never really feel that they're unsolvable.
Because there's always a way.
So to speak, the show must go on.
But there always is a way. Somehow, if you just keep at it long enough, you'll find some way to deal with it.
μαλλιά ξεριζωμένα απάνω από τα αυτιά, τα υπόλοιπα αγκάθινα στεφάνια, δαγκωμένα τόσ στα χέρια, νοπά από μετάληψη ωφέλιμη στην πέψη, αδιαμαρτύρητες γλώσσες χωρίς γεύση, ομοιόμορφες αδιάβροχες φωνές, σε ποτ πουρί εκατομμυρίων χιτ, πάνω στο ίδιο beat, αποστεωμένα πόδια σε αγώνα στάσεις, σε βιτρίνα αθλητική. Εκεί κάθε πρωί, κάθε πρωί, κάθε πρωί. 2 παρά 5 τις μικρές εβδομάδες, 3 παρά 5 τα μικρά Σάββατα, ανύπαντρες μαμάδες, άγνωστη αεροσυνοδή, με βλέμμα καρφωμένο σε άγνωστη οροφή, ή καρφωμένη μοτοσικλέτα σε κουμπί εντολή ολοκληρωτικού πολέμου, μέσα σε έγχρωμα κατράν, μέσα μας, στα γρήγορα, στα όρθια φτηνά ρεστοράν, η μασέλα ακριβίας διαμελίζει κάτι σημαντικό από μας, μια άσκηση φυσικής άλυτη. Και εμείς πίσω από ένα παραβάνο, πάνω σε ένα πλακάτ ιδιοφυής παράλυτη, άγρια κληρονομιά της κυβωτού του Αραράτ, Θεέ μας υπολογιστή, εννοούμε να σε περιμένουμε για τη λειτουργία, σε τροχιά οριστική, διαστρική, έστω και ασύλληπτη.
Griffin shine. That's a griffin shine. That's a griffin shine. Jew Wrigley. That's a griffin shine. Don't beat your wife every night. Jew Wrigley. That's a griffin shine. Thank you. a Griffin Shine. That's a Griffin Shine. Chew Wrigley's. That's a Griffin Shine. Jamaica, of course. That's a Griffin Shine. That's a Griffin Shine. Jamaica, of course. That's a Griffin Shine. That's a Griffin shine.
This world is only gonna break your heart.
Talking to you, and I don't blink,
and I just keep going,
and I don't
blink, and I keep on going.
You like
keep on going, and I keep on going. and I keep on going, 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 and I keep on going. 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 Keep on going. And I keep on going. And I keep. And I keep on going. And I keep on going. On going. And I keep on going. And I keep on going. And I keep on going. On going. And I keep on going. And I keep on going. And I keep on going. Keep on going. And I 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 keep on going.